Hi, this is Amrita Sukumar, and I'm bringing to you this podcast called Unsettling. Look around you. Everyone is trying to create their own story. Make a tiny change in someone's life by just following their passion, and in turn, inspiring the others to follow suit. This podcast brings to you stories of people who have defied the definition of settled set by the society and have created their own. They have found happiness in their version of settling.
Yours. One for the kitchen and one for the soul. Today I have with me someone who believes in this very mantra. He has done his majors in marketing and entrepreneurship and is working as a marketing director and a business development head in his family business that is into healthcare and hygiene called WeCare Meritex Private Limited. And he's also a freelance photographer, marketeer, content writer, and he also DJs and curates playlists of all sorts of genres on Apple Music and Spotify. To know more about him, let me welcome Yash Jhaveri. Hi, Yash. How are you? Welcome to the Unsettling Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure having you. And I've heard a lot about Unsettling Podcast. So like thought that, you know, this would be a good platform to showcase what I am actually and what my journey has been. So I thought that, you know, might as well have a podcast with you and, like, you know, probably begin the journey of inspiring people who want to get into healthcare business as well as into freelancing. So here I am today.
Thank you so much for choosing Unsettling, and definitely that is what my motto is, to inspire more people to follow their passion, and even if it is as a side hustle, I guess you can do it as long as you believe in yourself. So, well, how has your journey been so far, you know, from a marketing director, business development head to freelance photography? How has your journey been?
So, well, I went to management and entrepreneurship college, and I graduated in the year 2020. So what happened was that it took a complete turn for me, because I have done my majors in marketing and entrepreneurship.
Right.
And post that, COVID struck. I mean, we all know that, you know, India was battling COVID, and in 2020, everything just came to a standstill. We were in complete lockdown, shutdown. Everything was, you know, baffled. So I just thought that I wanted to obviously study further. And I thought that, you know, I would be able to, you know, do something. So I thought that, you know, it's better that let me get into my dad's business. Because my dad was already into the healthcare background, and like he's done his pharma, basically he's done his master's in pharmaceuticals, and he's been into the healthcare and the pharma industry since past 30-40 years. So I just thought that, you know, might as well let me give myself a particular chance to, you know, do something with my family business. Mm-hmm. So I was like, chalo, let me take this up, because right now everything is in shutdown, in lockdown, you know, there's nothing much to do. Can't go out to study, because even outskirts, there was all lockdown because of COVID. And here in India also, I couldn't apply to any colleges because everything was under a lockdown. So I began my journey in the year 2020, March to be precise, because that's when COVID struck.
Right.
And since then, it's been almost now 2.5 years, and since then I have been working with my father in a family business, and I think I'm really, really enjoying, because A, my dad has been an entrepreneur himself, so I've seen him how he's taken the risks, how he's, you know, taken decisions. Sometimes he's made mistakes, but sometimes he's also done really good for the family, and he's really done good for himself. So I think that was like one big learning lesson for me, because since I have done my majors in marketing and entrepreneurship, that's where I thought that, you know, oh, okay, these things also can be done, and how can I implement if I want to be an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. So I started off my journey as a small intern. Like, I told my dad that, see, dad, I know that I am your son, and obviously this is our business only, and you know, it's a family business and all. So please don't treat me like your son, that, you know, he's come, so let him do whatever he wants and all that, you know. Treat me like an employee only, as an intern. Keep me on, like, you know, small salary basis, so that even I'll be motivated to do things. Like, obviously, everyone knows that if you are getting paid for something, you will definitely land up doing it much better and you will give your 100% into it.
Correct.
So even I was like, hello, you know, let me begin, because that time I was already, I had completed my college and I was in my late 20s. So I was like, even in my head, you know, ek wo keeda rehta hai ki yaar, like now you're graduated, you are done with college. Now let's start earning some money and, you know, fund ourselves and also like make our name big and like, you know, help our family also in whatever they want. And I think every child's dream is that if whatever their parents have given, to give them double of what they have given you in your life. So even I lived that dream, and you know, I had that dream that, you know, somewhere I want to earn money and give my parents what they have been able to give and probably what they have not been able to do in their lives when they were of our age.
Right.
So I started my journey in 2020. I started off as an intern, like a marketing intern in my own family business. And dekhte, you know, like by doing, by looking at my dad, by learning from my work environment, from my other employees, my managers, my heads and all, I started gaining that confidence and I started learning more and more about the healthcare industry, more about my own products and all that stuff. And then obviously COVID also made me do a lot of, say, cold calling and a lot of CRM, which is customer relationship management.
Okay.
That's when I even thought that, oh, I'm very good with CRM, because I had to do was like make cold calls, send cold emails, you know, pick up inquiries like for people who were asking for our products and all, to talk to them, to tell them that these are the pricings, these are our products and so on and so forth. So this made me also, you know, made me a better communicator and also made me very confident about my pitching skills. So
right.
This is where I never had taken up CRM or, you know, pitching or anything in past, but because of this particular activity, I got to even do a lot of CRM and pitching. So today I can confidently say that I have around 250 to 300 clientele under me. And out of that, at least 150 people have stuck by me and I've retained them, where they have come back to me saying that your products are amazing. You know, you have a very good company. We are very happy with your products, really nice and all. And they have still come to me and they have, you know, they are wanting our products only.
Right.
So this is how, like, you know, my journey has been. And till date, I mean, I've been working with my dad. So later on, when I stopped my intern, I actually got a designation of the marketing head, or rather marketing director and a business development co-head in my family, because my dad saw me growing. He was very happy. He was very impressed with my work and all. So he's like, now from today, more than an intern, I would like you to officially, you know, join me as a designated employee, so that, you know, you are also motivated, you also are able to grow, and obviously your salary also will increase.
Right.
So from like intern, I got to become like what I really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And till date, I have been continuing with that only. So in the entire tenure of, you know, 2.5 years, I got to learn a lot about marketing, a lot about business development, a lot about CRM, a lot about sales, and a lot about, like, say, pitching and communications also. So what I feel is that the 5 or 6 pillars that, you know, every college or school talks that, you know, we will make you study these things and all, that is okay. Like, studies is one thing, and I had learned that in college myself. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that how should I execute that now, like whatever
right.
I have learned. So here in my company, in my own family business, I got to execute that. And today I'm doing pretty well, like enjoying. And, you know, obviously in every company there are ups and downs, and you know,
definitely. You just spoke about a lot of things that you learned from, you know, your journey so far, and about pitching, about CRM, about a lot of things. Is there any particular, you know, structure that you formulated for yourself, because of which you are able to sustain 150 clients, as you said? So is there something that you learned? And now, as you said, there were 6 pillars and you mentioned them in you know, ascending order. Is there a particular right. structure that you would like to share with the listeners that, you know, they can use as beginners if they right. want to start as a marketing right. head or a marketing director?
I feel that, you know, firstly, if someone, you know, goes with a structure or, you know, mugs up ki bhai, we need to do 1, 2, 3 like that, I feel that, you know, somewhere the person will slightly fumble, because, you know, if you're not able to stick to that first step and you are like, oh my God, I've come to the second step, then how do I go to the first step? So, you know,
right.
that is where some people may fumble. So I just feel that, you know, be confident, like mm-hmm. be you. Like even when I was given the opportunity to make cold calls, obviously the first time I was like that, dad, how will I do it? Like, what if, you know, I get to hear, you know, say someone like, you know, speaking badly about me, or like, you know, how, what right. if I get to hear someone being angry at me, or like, you know, they just keep the phone. What if I get demotivated and all? So he was telling me all those things may happen and may not even happen, but just go out there, you know, just talk and see for yourself how you are able to. So I started cold calling. I started, you know, calling up people. I started like pitching about my products and all. And I realized that I'm not doing bad. Like I'm doing good. So, you know, this is how like practice. Karke I became so good mm-hmm. that today, even in my sleep, I'll be able to like literally tell you about my products, the pricing and like what we are selling and what the specifications and all are. So it's like literally like I can just go on like how you have people in the restaurants narrating the entire menu, oh. especially the restaurant. Similarly, I can go on like I don't need any script, nothing. So I just feel that, you know, in structure, definitely your communication skills need to be good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously, like for any person who's like looking at pitching and all, should be a good communicator, should right. be confident, should mm-hmm. be able to obviously take a lot of negative feedback,
mm-hmm.
because that is something which is very important, because obviously you don't know who you are talking to.
Correct.
So obviously negative feedback, in fact, is very positive in another aspect if you go to see, because the more negative feedback you get, the mm-hmm. better you will be able to grow yourself and your company.
Correct.
So these 3-4 things, if a person is able to excel or at least, you know, become an expert at it, then I think it becomes very easy for anyone to communicate with the other person. And I think most importantly, what I feel is over here is networking.
Okay.
Because the more you network, the more people you connect with and the more people you, you know, meet and know, I mm-hmm. think it will become easier for you in future also, because somewhere down the line, there is a point where, you know, your company is not doing that well or you need some benefit out of someone. So, you know, if you know that person, it becomes very easier and like the flow becomes very easy when you are, you know, able to connect with that person and you are like, oh, I know you, like, right. so, you know, can we right. have this? Can I take a favor from you? Or, you know, that person taking a favor from you or something mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah. Okay. So I think.
So, this- yeah. So you've given some amazing nuggets. So one is confidence. The other is communication. The third is right. networking. And the fourth right. is to be able to take negative feedback, which is so important yes. in this whole thing. Yes. So we're coming to WeCare Meditex, and you know, right. you were telling me that you can narrate the products in your sleep.
Right.
So can you just tell me a little bit about that? What do you guys do?
So WeCare Meditex Private Limited mm-hmm. is basically one amongst the largest manufacturing companies in Maharashtra.
Achha.
For surgical and non-woven products. So when I say surgical products, such like basically the products that are used in the hospitals, mm-hmm. especially in the operation theater and by the doctors when they are operating someone. So right from 3-ply mask to N95 masks to PPE kits to isolation gowns to you know, Buffon caps, coverall, shoe cover, each and everything that requires something to do with doctors, hospitals or clinics or any kind of surgeries. So we manufacture that and we actually supply them to all the leading hospitals and to private doctors and clinics right now. So so this basically started off, you know, in the late, rather early 90s, not even late 90s, because my dad, as I told you, he basically did his master's in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And he, when he had gone to US to study, he landed up getting a job at Pfizer. And he was working as a pharma scientist at Pfizer, basically.
Right.
So his dream was that, you know, whatever he's learned over there, to come to India and, you know, build a healthcare business or an empire which will be very unique and, you know, bring in new innovations and bring in new technologies in the healthcare sector in India.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, when he came back to India, he was the first one to bring in the concept of the 3-ply mask that today what people are wearing all over the world and in India. Especially.
Okay.
Like today, what 3-ply means was basically my dad, Mr. Bimal Jhaveri, to actually come out with the entire concept, to know that what kind of material, fabric and everything is used in it. And he made a mask. And today what we are, you know, selling is that. So our hot selling products would be basically 3-ply masks,
mm-hmm.
our gowns, which are our isolation gowns, lab coats, then coveralls and shoe cover, N95 masks, and PPE kits also. Basically, what happened was that the moment India announced lockdown and India had a lot of COVID cases, there is this organization called Hafkins, which is a very, very big global organization, which is basically how you have your WHO and UN. It's basically, it looks after the entire healthcare sector only.
Right.
So the head or basically the coordinator called up my father and said that we have come to know about your business and we have seen your experience and what you have done earlier. So we would really like to have you on board and actually make PPE kits and provide them to all our Indian doctors and all. So we were the first one in India to introduce PPE kits.
Right. We're talking about 3-ply and everything. So when you say that your father you know, came up with this idea, I'm sure there must be a lot of research that goes behind it, right? So how much time do you spend in research before creating these products?
So he spent quite a few years, like around 5-6 years in researching, because not only research is required, like R&D is required, a lot of certification is required, a lot of, you know, legalities are required, because if you have the certificates, that is what makes you a genuine company and a genuine product manufacturer. So a lot even went in, you know, legalities, into certifications. Like he had to contact ISO, he had to contact, you know, all the other FDAs and what approvals were needed. After which, you know, he started getting the product in the market. And today we are selling at a really, you know, rapid rate and like with what margins, because we are already certified now, we are already in the market now, we are already facing a lot of rivalry right now, obviously, due to a lot of
competition. Of course, always.
But exactly, but because WeCare Meditex has its name and we have, you know, done so much in 2.5 years, out of 10 people, at least 8 people will come to us and be like, "Hey, boss, we need your products only. We are not comfortable with anyone else's products."
Of course. I mean, quality over quantity always.
Definitely.
And if you're telling me that you've spent 5 years in research and, you know, taking all those certifications, of course, there's quality. So
exactly. And this is what, like, even our mission and vision statement is, and also our mantra, that definitely quality over quantity. I mean, quantity to hum log, you know, bada le ya kuch bhi kar le, you know, but definitely quality is something which
you can't compromise, you know, on.
We don't compromise and we emphasize definitely.
Definitely. Oh, this has been quite interesting, but I would like to move to the, you know, photography aspect of things.
You
have, of course, taken care of your, you know, managing the business and growing in it. I guess photography was a hobby, which then you picked up as a side hustle. And then now you're doing almost full-time.
Yes.
How is that?
Yes. So basically, photography was something which, you know, I didn't know that I have it in me.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I used to love clicking pictures, like whether with my, you know, the first ever digital camera, like where you have the roll and all that stuff, or even from my phone. So with like since past 2.5 years, I started really liking photography. And since last year, I was like, okay, let me see one thing that, you know, I'm already working in my dad's business. I'm already doing well. But what could be, you know, something which I can use for fast income, for quick income?
Right.
So then I thought to myself that why not make my passion, which grew after, like, I mean, grew over the years of photography, like, you know, it actually turned into my passion. So why not make my passion only something where I can commercialize it or even make it into a business?
Right.
So I started off with my page called YJ Clicks on Instagram last year. And I started clicking a lot of pictures. I started, like, you know, roaming my city, Bombay, going other, like, to places and all, just clicking pictures and uploading them on Instagram and all. And within a month or two, I saw myself growing up to a level where I landed up getting almost 15,000 followers on my Instagram page within a span of 2 months. Because, like, I just love clicking pictures, and some of my pictures were really good. Not even, you know, bragging, but were really good. I do a lot of, say, phone photography as well, because I love doing phone photography, because today I feel that, you know, phone photography is also one aspect which is required and needed by every client or every upcoming startup, whether it's food or clothing or anything. But usually startups require a lot of photography, because it's something, you know, like, they want to, you know, put out their products
in an aesthetic way.
And today, because of the entire digital revolutionization that has happened, like, e-commerce has come in, you know, Instagram, Facebook and all have been running ads and all. Basically, because of e-commerce, a lot of stuff, what you actually go and buy in store and all, has started to come online. So obviously, in order to, you know, showcase those products or even, you know, make the client or the customers see how it looks and all, you require photography for it.
Correct.
So today, photography is, like, definitely an upcoming, you know, field where I feel that if a person is really passionate about, should actually look into, because it will give you a lot of confidence as well as it will give you a lot of creativity. Like, it will make you think a lot into creativity, and also will, you know, open your doors to see things in different perspective and will sharpen your observation.
Correct.
Because when you click a picture, like, when you actually click a picture, you actually not only just click a picture, you click a picture with a lot of things in your mind, that, you know, what is the perspective of that picture, what is the angle of the picture, how is the picture, you know, looking, then what is the background pattern, everything, you know, like, basically each and everything, if you go to see, is, like, you know, something to click with. So this is how, you know, I, like, kind of developed my passion for photography. And today I'm actually pursuing my advanced photography course also. And I'm already on a verge of finishing my course. And I'll be getting, like, a diploma in photography now. And after that, I will be a certified photographer. So I've been doing a lot of freelancing photography, and I'm also planning to now come up with my own webinars and workshops of phone photography, basically.
Right.
Because phone photography is also an upcoming thing, because right now, if you go to see, there are quite a few people who have got good phones with really good cameras. But then, you know, they don't really know how to use it to their advantage and how to click super pictures.
Correct.
So, you know, I want to just educate people that how do you click a picture, what are the different angles, what are the different features of every phone, and, you know, to basically make them at least feel good about themselves that, yeah, we are able to take good pictures.
Well, while you're talking about phone photography and, you know, all these details, I'm somebody who absolutely doesn't understand angles and patterns and background and everything that you've been talking about. So as a layman and somebody, you know, who has an Android phone, not a very nice phone, can you give me some tips that I can use to click good pictures?
So definitely, so whether you are an iOS, like an iPhone user, or a Samsung user, like Android, I think what you should be doing is just firstly, like, keeping, like, basically practicing to keep your hands stable, because that is one thing in photography which is very, very important. Because obviously, if there's continuous movement of your hands or something, you will not get a clear picture. Like, it will be blur, or it will have a lot of disclarity when it comes to, you know, taking a picture. So that is one thing which will be very important in, you know, taking a picture. Mm-hmm. Secondly, try to imagine that when you are clicking a picture, try to see that, you know, what is the purpose of that picture? Like, why are you clicking the picture and where could you probably use that picture? Because there are many times where obviously like abstract photography is there, but then, you know, there's no point just clicking a picture and, you know, just putting it out there, because a lot of times if a picture or a photograph has got like a small message or a story behind it, it will make the person who is looking to at the picture feel very, very, you know, very
connected to it, like relatable, say, context kind of.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah. Very aesthetic. Yeah, I mean, very curious rather, because, you know, when I see a picture, when I see a photograph, I would be like, okay, this is something emotional. This is something, you know, exciting. There is some kind of, you know, like I could probably feel as if the picture is talking to me.
Right.
Like, you know, you should feel that, okay, this picture, like a mother and daughter is there. And, oh, that's such a nice story, like, you
but,
know,
I just had a doubt. You were talking about mother and daughter. Usually what happens when you talk about a story, it's mostly when, you know, there are people involved or humans involved and there's emotion coming out of it. But when it comes to objects or trees or plants, how do you find a story in that?
I mean, see, exactly, like, even in that case, now suppose if you're like, again, plants or something, or like trees, or even nature for that matter, we all know that mother nature, like, you know, you literally, there are people when you surround yourself with plants, trees and all, you feel that they are also talking to you, they're echoing. So, you know, something like that, they say, suppose if you are clicking a picture of a tree, like a photograph of a tree, so, you know, probably wait for that right time. When you feel that there is some bird or something just getting out of the nest or something like that. And that could be, so, you know, the mother, I mean, the basically the for a bird, the tree is the house, right? Because that's where they build their nest and they keep their baby eggs over there. So, you know, for them, it becomes a motherly figure, a motherly figure for them. So if I look at a tree and like if there's a shot that is being clicked by someone, a photographer, that, you know, bird just went out of the tree,
flew out,
like,
of the branches,
that's so how, like, you know, I'm story. So that's how you'll be able to narrate a story through a photograph.
You spoke about photography and stories and everything, so is there any particular genre of photography that you like, you know, maybe newborn or still photography? What is the one that you like the most?
I do like a lot of genres. Like, I mean, photography in general is vast. So obviously a photographer needs to, you know, bifurcate himself or herself into a way where, you know, you need to say at least you should have a kind of niche.
Right.
So in my case, I just don't have one niche. I love doing a lot of, like, say, I have several niches, but I love doing a lot of street photography, a lot of portrait photography, a lot of food photography, product photography, a lot of abstract photography and nature photography, to be precise.
So it's not precise. It is not precise. So right now it's generic and you're still figuring it out. Yeah.
Again, there is a lot, you know, you name the thing that can be termed into photography, but these are, like, you know, the six niches that I am really good with, and I feel that I can justice to this. And product photography is like one thing which I want to make it into commercial, because A, it will help me in my business, because we also have products that, you know, we need to put into a catalog.
Correct.
On our website and, you know, other marketplaces. And secondly, there is a huge demand for product photographers in the market right now, whenever you go to even, say, networking events or wherever, because everyone is wanting to put their product up on these e-commerce platforms and marketplaces. So obviously for that, hire, you know, someone to be at least decent enough to click a picture of your product, and then they are able to put it up, you know, on their website or marketplace. So I feel that product photography and portrait photography, to be very, very precise, are like my expertise, and I want to really do, because in portrait, it's very, you know, in portrait, it's obviously, it is difficult, but it is really, you know, say, exciting to even show what emotions the person is going, because when you say portray, it's only the face.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot is to do with the face, and you know, you need to even tell the client or the model that this is how you need to bring in expressions, this is how, you know, I want it to look, or you know, so you get to know a lot about expressions also, and
right.
you also get to know a lot about how the person will react and how the person will give a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So a portrait and
product photography right now. Yeah.
And definitely say, nature / street, because
yeah.
I, if you see a lot on my page, which is called YJ Clicks on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of nature photography because I love just going to places
mm-hmm.
and you know click any picture like that, and you know, depict that udhar I had gone, and you know, what was the story behind that, or like, you know, why did I click a picture. So
right.
even travel photography for that matter. So you know, like in general, if someone who wants to become a photographer, I feel that a lot of doors also open for that person, because
mm-hmm.
you become like, you get a chance to explore yourself
mm-hmm.
by traveling at a lot of places, you know, like you, because if you're just a travel photographer, you get to obviously explore places, you get to travel, meet new people, meet new cultures. Secondly,
right.
if you are into product photography, you get to have a lot of clientele, because nowadays every second person is on, you know, e-commerce platforms, and they are requiring for hiring photographers and all, so that's thing. Thirdly, like say if you're a food photographer
mm-hmm.
and if you are a foodie also, like that's exactly your cherry on the cake, you know. So if you're a foodie, it becomes very easy for you to, you know, go to good places and, you know, give reviews about that place, click good pictures, put it up on these reviewing platforms, and you know, to like come, or rather to feature yourself into these you know, food photography magazines, or you know, these food like the restaurants,
right,
and
a lot
that.
Of places, like yeah, definitely it's all up and coming. But I have one question
yeah.
for you. You said that, you know, you, within 2 months you were mm-hmm. able to you know, get a lot of followers on your page, and you were able to monetize it.
Right.
Now, assuming there's somebody who is,
right.
you know, you have definitely picked up a lot of confidence from your work, and now you've moved on to taken that confidence into
right.
photography as
right.
well. But there are people
right.
who have just started out, not
right.
so confident. What tips would you give them as to how should they, you know, pitch their portfolio? Is there any, you know, particular sequence that they should follow
right.
to be able to monetize their work?
Sure. So I feel that, you know, again, here also just go all out. Like, don't think about, you know, that what would be the end outcome or something. If you are into photography, I think firstly, it's very important for you to display your photographs somewhere.
Okay.
Like, even if you have clicked, if they are in the raw form or they are not all that great, you need to put out your pictures on either some kind of social media platform in order for other people to see. And, you know, obviously to recognize you that, oh, you are a upcoming photographer, or you are a photographer, or your line is photography. So first thing is that, you know, in order, because you're obviously clicking something, so you need to showcase. So in order to obviously bring yourself there, like to show yourself there, be out there, you need to create a page. Then secondly, once you have your page, you know, start liking other people's pictures, start commenting on their pictures, and also, you know, tell them to comment and like your picture. Like, it's like a barter system. Share, like, comment, like, you know how it goes, like how people
yeah.
usually do. So if you do that, like for instance, if I do it for you, you will also like it, you will do the same for me.
Okay.
And this is completely, you know, so you shouldn't hesitate here. Then thirdly, try to, you know, obviously you will not get DMs in your first go or something, or someone would want to collaborate with you or something.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, you rather be the bigger person, and you know, like wherever you find, or whoever you find has got more followers, and you have looked at their page, they are doing really well and all, probably DM them, you know, or like be behind them that, oh, hi, can we collaborate, or, you know, can we do something together, or can
mm-hmm.
we, like, you know, do any kind of activity to the, or can we go out and click something, and then we can collaborate. Because this will, what will happen is that in this process, A, you will get a good connection
mm-hmm.
and B, you will get to know the person also, and see, you will be able to get a collab also with you. So right now, because of, you know, a lot of algorithm changes on Instagram and other social media platforms, a lot of collaborations and all are happening. So because of collaborations, if a person who is new and all is also able to come up because of the other person's popularity.
Followers.
And,
right.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so, quite interesting. Yeah, continue.
So this is how I went about when I started my page. Obviously, even in my, I remember my first 2-3 pictures, I got a little demotivated because I was like, yeah, 15 likes I'm getting. You know, how should I grow? Like only 20 likes. Like I was just in double figure, and that also below 30, not even like 50, 40 or something. And then suddenly I started like, say, collaborating. I started getting myself recognized. I started commenting, liking and all that stuff. I think towards my first month only, in the half month or rather towards the end of my starting, I started getting like almost, I started touching 50 likes and, you know, 60 likes. Wow. And I started getting followers, and that motivated me. It helped me to grow. I was like, oh nice, I think I'm doing something good, and not, let me click more pictures, let me, you know, comment more, let me like talk to people more, DM more and all. And this is how I started. So my first picture, when it hit 3 figures, like 100, and I was aesthetic, like I was like, you know, I was so excited, and you know, like I've hit 100 likes after such a long time, so much of efforts and all that. So it was really good, like the feeling was really good. And after which I obviously, like, then it was a non, like a no stop,
it's like a snowballing effect, right? Once it starts, then it continuously rolls.
Yeah. I started growing, and now today I have done like several collaborations. I have been featured on so many of Mumbai photography, you know, pages. Wow. On Instagram, like, right. You have Mumbai Censored, you have Unseen Mumbai, you have like, there are several pages right now to, you know, actually pen down if I have to. So, and I also like 2-3 things more I would like to add here is that the hashtag game is very important when you are putting out a picture, because with the hashtags, you know, many people search you with the hashtags also. So if your hashtags are point, and if you max out your hashtags, I think you will be able to do much better, because algorithms are changing every now and then. So hashtag game is very important, you know, collaborations are very important, commenting, liking and sharing is very important. Obviously now the option is there to even save. So at times when people save your, you know, work, either picture or post your work, you get more engagement. So obviously, like, saving is something which is difficult, because obviously unless you are a content creator, no one would save your post. Like,
so as long as you're adding value, then people mostly save.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I'm also looking at, you know, that aspect where in terms of my photography only, how can I, you know, help people in saving my post. So, you know, probably have like coming out with content where I'm sharing some tips and tricks regarding photography, sharing a couple of my experience about photography. Then, you know, like them a list of, say, equipments and all what you require for photography and all that stuff. So I'm looking at a little bit of now in the content region also, in the content aspect of photography.
Oh.
So these are the things, you know, that I'm using to grow myself. And this is how I was able to at least, you know, get to a mark of at least 14,000-15,000 within 2-3 months. Like,
wow.
4 hours.
Thank you for sharing this. I'm sure my listeners are going to benefit from this. Coming to almost the final question. So any message that you would like to give my listeners, you know, based on your experience as an entrepreneur and as your experience as a photographer?
So I feel that, see, today's world has become very competitive. And, you know, it's very difficult to sustain and survive in today's world with so much of competition and so many, you know, players coming in the market. We have seen so many startups come up in our country right now with, you know, such good IITians and, you know, engineers and all that coming up. So definitely there is a lot to do when it comes to being an entrepreneur or anything. So I just feel that, you know, you should have that will and that never give up attitude to, you know, sustain yourself. I mean, obviously you will feel down, you will be demotivated, you will have ups and downs and all, but just have the will and that never give up attitude, and I think you will be able to do really well. And somewhere I feel that if you're passionate about something, please do take it up, because I feel that passion will make you do the work 100 times more than what you actually don't want to do. Like if you are definitely dedicated towards your work, you will give 100%, that I assure. But if you're passionate about something or about that work, you will give 101%.
Yeah.
So that 1% is for your passion. So, you know, this is what I really feel that, you know, people should, you know, take away from what I have done or my experience have been. And I always believe in this one thing that, you know, if you strive and if you thrive, which equals to survive. So if you're able to strive and
thrive.
You know, yeah, exactly. And plus thrive. It's equal to, like, you know, survive.
So we got a philosophy lesson. We got lessons about quality and quantity and about hustling as much as possible.
Yes,
as
definitely.
Long as you love your passion.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think that today, the people in our late 20s should definitely look at, you know, side hustles, because it's
no
an upcoming
option.
Field.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many other things that are coming up now, like trends are changing. So I feel that, you know, a side hustle is always good, because whether or not you are in your family business or you're a professional or you're, you know, working under someone or for an MNC, I feel a side hustle is something which will give you quick money and will make you feel good about yourself, because side hustle is something which can actually turn into your passion. Like what I have done.
Yeah.
Like freelance photography and content writing. So, you know, this is where my side hustle became passion, or rather passion became my side hustle. And I'm already doing, like, good for myself and my family business. So that is there. But I feel that it's very important to have a side hustle, or at least very important to have some kind of goal and vision for yourself. Because
True.
Obviously you only have to, you know, seek your future. You
Definitely.
Only have to envision your future. No one else will. So every opportunity, try to grab it and go with the flow, I feel.
I agree.
So this is
I think it's mostly because of COVID, because you've realized that, you know, before people used to say that if you're a jack of all trades, it's not a good thing. It's good to specialize in something.
Right.
But I guess if you are more flexible
right.
and you're able to, you know, branch out into different directions right now, that is more important in this current scenario.
Right.
Things might change definitely in the future. Who knows?
Right.
But right now, yes, it's somehow important to have a side hustle, as you said. Coming to the final question, this is something, that is why it's called unsettling. So what does the phrase being settled mean to you, beta?
I will never settle, firstly. As you know, how you have the OnePlus company that always says that never settle. So I feel that, you know, I go with that phrase, never settle, because always keep hustling. You are definitely going to get opportunities. God is going to open quite a few doors for you. If one shuts, you have something else opening up for you. So, you know, never, you know, rather like never settle, I would say. And even if you feel a little content in yourself, if you want to settle, do settle, but always in your mind have that keep, you want to do something, you know, big, you want to do something for yourself, you want to do something or the other. Because if you have your mind running again and again, if you have your brain stuck at one thing or even at multiple things, something or the other will definitely, you know, happen.
Yeah.
So I just feel that, you know, definitely there will be a point even in my life where I will settle. Like, definitely I will settle. But, you know, settling doesn't only mean ki, you know, at this age 28, 29 ho gaya, shaadi kar lo, ye kar lo, ho gaya, and uske baad, you know, retirement is like 50. That is what, you know, I've learned from my dad, that today my dad is almost 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still working. He's a workaholic. He's like, I asked that one day I was just sitting over dinner. I'm like, Dad, when are you going to retire? Like, I want to take your place. Yeah, come on. He's like, you are definitely going to take my place and I'm going to give you everything, but I'm never going to retire or I'm never going to settle. Like, I'll be like, you know, peaches se, I'll be poking you that, you know, I'm working with you and all that stuff. So this is what, you know, I'm like, you never settle in life, I feel. Just keep on going on and on and on. And the day when you know that you are done completely with everything, that's the time when you, like, you know, settle. Okay. So, like, I idolize Virat Kohli a lot. Like, he's one of my biggest inspirations, and I love cricket. And he's like my idol. So I remember in one interview or at a press conference, Virat Kohli had, he was asked that if you're not in form, then when are you going to quit cricket, or like, why don't you take a break? And he just said that the day I feel that I'm completely done with cricket and I am not able to lift my bat or rather be on the field, that day I will completely go off cricket and you'll never see me on field again.
Okay.
So I just feel that, you know, stay hungry, stay foolish, and just keep on going on, you know.
Okay, done. So we will take this away. As long as we can pick up our bats and, you know, set up our mics, we will keep going. And thank you so much. I'm also going to get in touch with OnePlus. If they are promoting Unsettling, then why can't they come on the podcast and sponsor me? So I'll definitely do that. Thank you so much, Yash, for coming on this podcast. It was wonderful talking to you and understanding about your business and photography. So thank you
so much for having me and actually, you know, making me showcase what I am doing today. You know, I'm sure people would get inspired, or even if the people who want to get inspired hear me out and, you know, begin their family business journey or their freelancing journey, and even if they want to get into photography or, you know, whatever. So I just want to inspire people and, you know, like, make this world a better living place for all of us.
I'm sure you've inspired a lot of people and you've given so many tips that they can follow. So definitely a plus. And I would like to tell my listeners that he has a page. I think he's mentioned it, YJ Clicks. You can go follow him there and you can always get in touch with him. You can ask for collaborations and tips on hashtags well. He will always be available. So thank you, Yash. Thank you so much.
Hi, if you can hear this, that means you have reached the end of the episode. So like, share, subscribe, follow, stay tuned to Unsettling. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can always reach out to me on my Instagram page, AmritaSukumar_Unsettling, or send me an email on podcast.unsettling.as@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.